So here we go. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open up to Exodus 34. And I was just thinking today, have your Bibles. And, you know, this is pretty good. You know, the old-fashioned type. I encourage you to have your Bible. Write in it. Make notes. If you have a thought, write it down. Before I go to that, I did just find out that camp just got cheaper. It's actually $275. The brain trust that there is had a conversation, and yeah, $275. So things got a little bit cheaper, just to let you know that. Kids, I know you don't have coloring and a question from me. We're not doing that today because we're doing things differently, but you can still listen. I would encourage parents on your way home today, have a kids with conversation with kids. Like, what did you learn today? Okay, so, and if you want to give them a piece of candy, you can do that. Here's the problem here. I've done this a few times. The Lord has led me to do this a couple times. I don't have any notes today. I have this thing, and He's done that before, and it has ended up okay, maybe better than okay, but it's still terrifying to me. Because on Monday I come in and I read, I research, and I write. And a lot of times it's Monday, the message is written out, and it gets rehashed throughout the week, refined throughout the week. Maybe not enough for you all, but I try to refine it. But this week I read and researched, and I was ready to write, and God said, nope. I said, okay, I'll wait, you know, I'll wait a little bit later this week. And God said, nope, Sunday. God, I like notes. I like to make sure I know, hopefully you like that too. I like to know where I'm going. You know, I don't want to go all over the place. I know the word God has to share today. I know the truth. And it is a complicated subject. And it's also complicated to explain and explain well. That's why I'm terrified, because I don't have any notes to help me. But I trust in God that He's going to deliver a really cool message today that I think is going to be beneficial. And so we're going to read a little bit here, Psalms 34, or Exodus 34. Read a little bit, and we're going to pray. And as I'm praying, also pray for good old Ben in the back running slides, because I just went back to him because he's always curious. Anything I need to know this week, Pastor, for the scriptures? I went back there and I just said, good luck. You know, I have some things that we'll cover, but how much of it, I don't know, and who knows. Maybe we're going to go someplace else. So if you have your Bibles, Exodus 34, we'll start at verse 1. Now remember, God gave the Ten Commandments. There's a golden calf. They sinned against God. Moses came down, he took the Ten Commandments and smashed it. God wanted to destroy the nation. Moses interceded. And then a little bit later, when God calmed down and Moses calmed down, Moses said, God, I want to see your glory. That's back in 33, verse 18. Show me your glorious presence. And so God says, I will. And that's the story that we're leading up to, is God is going to reveal his presence to Moses. So 34, verse 1. Reading out the New Living Translation. Then the Lord told Moses, chisel out two stone tablets, like the first ones that you broke. I will write on them the same words that were on the tablets you smashed. Sorry. My brain just, never mind. Be ready in the morning to climb up Mount Sinai and present yourself to me on top of the mountain. No one else may come up with you. In fact, no one is to appear anywhere on the mountain. Don't even let the flocks or the herds graze near the mountain. So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets of stone, like the first ones. Early in the morning, he climbed Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then, verse 5, the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him, and he called out his own name, Yahweh. Let's pray. God, we want to hear from you today. But I really, 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 really want to hear from you today. I want you to speak. And Lord, I know usually the reason why you don't reveal it all to me, Lord, is something happened either yesterday or today in the hearts of some here. And Lord, there's some new words, some new thoughts that you want to share with us. So while I'm a little nervous here, Lord, I'm excited because you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, are going to speak to us today. And so we wait in expectation for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So hang on to that verse 5 there. That's what we're zeroing in on. Is then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him, and he called out his own name. Anybody think that's a little weird? Sorry, son. Can you come here, Andrew? It's not going to hurt. Just stand right there. So God came down. And he stood next to Moses, and he said, God. God. Anybody of you ever talk in the third person? You know, Jason. 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 Is that a little weird? Okay, that he came down and he just said his own name. See, that didn't hurt too bad. Thank you. He came down and he just said his own name. Moses must have been like, yeah, I know your name, Yahweh. We've seen this before, God. Cuckoo, are you losing it? He came down and he spoke his own name, Yahweh. We're going to get that staticky stuff that drives him and I crazy. So what does that mean? Okay? Because we read that and we just think he came down and called out his own name. What does that mean? Kind of like when I said, you weren't in here, I repeated what you said, retail therapy. What does that mean, right? What does that mean? You know, and it took guys a few times to figure out what it is. A couple of guys held up their banking account on their phone and went, I know exactly what that means. What does that mean? What does this mean? We read it, and I don't think we completely understand what God is driving at here. So let me help. Okay, remember, the Bible wasn't written in English. It was written in a couple of different languages, right? About three of them. And this was written in Hebrew. So to help us understand, if you would, put up the slide that doesn't make any sense to you there, young man. There you go. Does that help you? There is the verse in Hebrew. Okay, now do you understand what it means? Do we have, no, it doesn't help? Okay, maybe I'll read it to you if you do the next one. Yarad Yehovah, Yarad Anan, Yisab Im Sam, Kara Sem Yehovah. Does that make sense? Do we now understand what verse 5 means? No. We don't. There is a concept, a huge concept in this verse 5 that I don't think we can truly see, but we're going to hopefully allow God to reveal it to us. And then it's the understanding and the application of what it means. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him, and he called out his own name, Yahweh. You know, I don't have any notes, so I'll help you, Matt. I actually like this one.
There you go. Maybe you can hear me a little bit better now, Gary. Sometimes when I get into a louder mic. He called out his own name. Now, there is another description of this verse. Another version says, God revealed his name. That's a little different. He didn't just speak it. Somehow he revealed it. What does that mean? I've dated two girls in my life, okay? So happy for the second one. And it came at a point in our relationship, and I can't remember who, I'm probably going to get in trouble here. One of us said, I love you first. And I'm pretty sure at the same time, the other one responded, I love you. right? That moment in a relationship where somebody feels like this is love. Now, the first relationship, a lot of times our first relationship, we all think, you know, wedding bells and stuff, but that's just feelings. But there came a point in our relationship that we felt we love each other. We spoke that word. And we responded because we both felt it. I heard a little history from my mom. I didn't know this. I think she said it before, that she was engaged to another man before my dad. Now, oh, shocking. This is where I can get into trouble. I mean, my family is here. This is going to be so intimidating. I got no notes. My dad is here. My sister here. My uncle is back. I'm in trouble here. Yeah. So in that relationship, mom and this other guy must have said, I love you, I would assume. But something happened. Some of you, we've all got different stories. But I'm pretty certain in some of your relationships way back when, some man or woman said to you, I love you, and you went, eh. Some of you, when they said that, you went, no, you don't. Right? What is that? What is that thing? What is that sense? Parents, you know this one pretty clearly. One child does something to the other child, and you say to the first child, now tell your brother you're sorry. And what do?
I'm sorry.
They spoke the words that you asked them to speak, because those words are meaningful. But did they mean it? You can tell that those words didn't carry any weight. The words are important, but there was no whatever that thing, that sense is behind the words. God stood there and revealed his name to Moses. I was in Appleton, Wisconsin. We lived near there. Appleton is about 30 minutes from Green Bay, otherwise that shrine that some of you all worship. And we were at a Famous Dave's. And I'm in the bathroom. And there's another guy there. And I came over to wash my hands, and I sensed him standing behind me a little bit. And so I'm washing my hands, and I'm like, it's kind of weird that he hasn't come to wash his hands. And so I'm washing my hands, and I look up in the mirror just to see what's going on. And he was about 3 feet behind me, and he was on his phone. And I'm like, oh, all right. And I kept washing my hand. But then as I went back washing my hands, I'm like, I know who that is. And I'm washing my hands, keeping my eyes down. I'm going past the 20 seconds, you know, you're supposed to wash your hands. I'm like, I know who that is. And so I look up again, and I look down. I'm like, yep. And so I finished up, and I went out. And I sat next to Em, and I had a view of the bathroom, and I sat there. I didn't say anything. I just sat there, and I was staring at the door, and Em's like, what's wrong with you? I said, I think that's James Jones. If you are old-time Packer fans, he was like the third wide receiver for the Packers about 10, 15 years ago with Jordy Nelson and dead other guy. Jennings, thank you. See, I'm not a Packer fan, sorry. James Jones, he's a pretty good wide receiver. And he was right there. What should I do? In that moment, I'm like, I'm next to James Jones. Should I turn around and say, hey, can I have your autograph? Wait, you haven't washed your hands yet. What do you do when you're in the presence of someone that is important? I told you I did this last year. I'm volunteering again this year. At the 3M, I like golf, the 3M Open that's in the Twin Cities, all the PGA, big hitters show up and they're at a tournament, and I drove golf carts. So I'd drive up to the clubhouse and the golfer would come out and his caddy would come out. They'd get in the cart, I'd say good morning, and then we'd drive off to the practice range or different places, you know. And I watch golf. I mean, that's in church, that's my Sunday activity. I watch golf, and I know these guys. I see these guys, and I know all about them, but I've never met them. I've never been in their presence. And I sit there, and Mr. Jason Day from Australia, I just want to hear his accent. You know, I said, good morning. He says, good day, mate, or whatever. He didn't say that. He said, good morning. But I wanted him to say, good day, mate. And Tony Finau sits there. And as you have a conversation, as they speak words, you begin to get a feeling about them. Have you ever had that? You met someone for the first time, the grocer, the checkout person. You just have a brief conversation, and you have that thought of, that's a good person. I think I like that person. There's something about them. You ever had that? Am I the only one? There's just a sense, right? You can tell a little bit about them. And so I remember Jason Duffner sat next to me, and I said, good morning. I can't remember if I said his name or not. I said, good morning. And he just went, good morning. And then he sat there, kind of slightly turned from me. And I didn't feel like he was brushing me off. I had an instant thought. He's like me. He's an introvert. And it's in the morning, and he doesn't really want to converse with anyone. You know, that was my sense. I don't know if it's true, but I'm like, I think I understand this guy. For a while, I was driving a cart that had 6 spots in it. And I pulled up, and Ricky Fowler, he's kind of flashy, wears bright colors and stuff like that, right? He sits behind me, and his caddy's here, and 2 other golfers and another caddy are in the back. And the whole time I'm driving, he's just talking and gabbing, and they're laughing, and they're talking all sorts of stuff. I'm like, yeah, I think I can peg this guy. I think I know who he is. Had a few different conversations, and at one point, Lucas Glover comes in, and he sits next to me. And he said, I know you're only supposed to take us certain places, but I'm staying in a house that's just down over there. Could you take me somewhat in that direction? I'm like, yeah, I can do that. And as we drove, we're having a conversation. And when he got off, he understood that I was pushing the limits, Pastor Jason. I was pushing the limits of where I was supposed to go. And he expressed gratitude, genuine gratitude. And as I'm driving back, I'm like, I like that guy. You ever had that with someone? You just have a sense. You don't know what it is. As they speak words, you get an understanding of their character. You get a revelation of who they are. Verse 6. Then the Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. What did God do? He used words to describe himself. Should I do that? Talk about myself here for a little bit. We don't have the time. Oh, my word. He used words to describe himself. But he also revealed himself. Are those two things, or is that just one thing? Skip ahead. End of 34, verse 29. When Moses came down Mount Sinai, so this is after this conversation, God talks to all these words of who he is, and he's revealed his nature, and then he gives him a bunch of instructions. Verse 29, when Moses came down the Mount Sinai, carrying the 2 stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, he wasn't aware that his face had become radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Did something happen to Moses when he was on the mountain, God speaking to him about what his character, his name means, and he spoke what his name means? Did something happen to Moses? Yes, he changed because he was in the presence of God, and he learned through the words of God of who he was. There are 2 things going on in this weird verse 5. The Lord came down in a cloud, stood there with him, and called out. He revealed his name to Moses. What happened? God said, I am the God of compassion. What happened to Moses when God said that word? He felt compassion from God. Have you ever felt compassion from someone? They do something, they say something, and you sense the compassion. God said, I am mercy. What did Moses experience in that moment? Mercy. God said, I'm slow to anger. I'm filled with unfailing love. What did he experience when God said, I am love? He had a sense that it was true. God saying, I love you. Moses went, oh, those are nice words. No, Moses experienced. God spoke the word, and he backed it up with that sense that is really hard to explain. But in this verse, we're seeing these two different important things, the word of God and the presence of God. And I think they're two different things. So, what's the big deal, Pastor? Okay, maybe I can go with that. You see, we have a problem as individuals with these two concepts. We have a problem as a church with these two thoughts. And we have a problem as the church of God, all the churches, with these two things. Because on one hand, we have word people. We have people that you dive in. Some of you are taking notes. Thanks, Mom. Appreciate that. Love you. You're taking notes because the words are important. Some of you, I don't need the words. I'm going to walk out of here and I'm going to have sense something. We're not. Some of you are word people. The word is vital and important, and it should be. Some churches that you have gone to are word churches. And how would I look at that? I'd say a little more traditional, okay? Where it's reading a lot of scripture. It's a lot of reciting. It's a lot of repeat after me. And you speak out the prayer, and then you respond in a prayer. It's a lot of tradition, okay? We have traditional churches. Lutheran, Catholic, maybe Baptist, maybe a little Methodist. There are traditional churches that emphasize the words, emphasize the tradition, okay? And I'm never going to knock that because that is the word of God. That's good stuff. But then you have churches that are very different. You have churches like Pentecostal or charismatic churches that are very spiritual. It's about feeling. It's about sensing the presence of God. And then these churches do things to encourage that. The lights are off. The lights are going everywhere. There's music. There's background motions going like crazy. There's smoke machines. And it's, all right, everyone, raise your hands. All right, everyone, repeat after me. All right, everyone, let's get on our knees. It's all about, you got to feel this. You got to sense this. You gotta get into the presence of God. And I'm never going to knock that. Because we got to have that. Because God did that twice at the same time. He spoke the words and he revealed his presence. Moses heard the words and felt the words. But then we have churches that stand on the opposite side of some chasm, probably the middle of this verse, and we look at the other ones and we go, you ain't got it. You're too traditional. You are dead. There's no life there. And over here we got, no, you guys have lost it. You're all about feelings, all about sensing. You're all about all these different things and hyper spiritual. That's not God, that's evil. And here we have this great divide. Because we're looking on the both sides of this verse, and no one is trying to stand in the middle going, I need the word of God, and I need to experience his presence. And we do that as individuals. We do that within this church. We might come in here and go, you know, I'm not seeing enough of God's spirit. How come I grew up in a more Pentecostal church. I speak in tongues. That's weird. That's for another story. This is another day. I have shaken uncontrollably in the presence of God, where my body just shakes because I can't handle what's going on. I have been slain in the spirit. A preacher preaches, lays his hands, and poof, I'm out. Did I make that up? No, I sensed something. I felt a weight, and I couldn't handle it, and I'm out. I sensed the presence of God. And some of us were like, that's what you got to have all the time. You got to sense the presence. You got to sense the presence. I'm not sensing the presence. As a preacher is preaching the word. As a preacher is going to Psalms. As we're singing songs that are the word of God. It's just, I don't know. It's just not alive enough in here. I'm not sensing the presence of God. And then on the other side, well, there's just not enough hymns. We need more word. Why are the lights down? What's going on? This is just a little too feely for me. I'm getting no response in this from y'all. And so either this, I'm way off, or you're starting to go, okay, Pastor, you're dancing on our toes a little bit. We do it as churches. We do it as a church. We do it as individuals. That balance of the word and the presence. And we look at the other side and go, you're not enough. You're not doing it right. And they say the same thing back. So what is it? What's it supposed to be? I think it's somewhere there in the middle. Where everywhere we go, we desire to get in the presence of God. And we desire the word of God. Some of you, when you are in a very, very, very difficult situation, what do? You go grab your Bible, and you start reading and reciting and memorizing scriptures. I see you nodding. You're a word guy. Yeah. Some of you, I think I have both in the front row here. Some of you, when you're going through something difficult, you go into your quiet place, and you pray, and you seek God for a word. Yeah? Absolutely. What do? Because I think most of us do one or the other. And I'm not knocking that. But if you stand there and look at the other guy, and I know you guys love each other. It's awesome. Never once do you criticize one another in the word guy, in the presence guy. And that's the way it should be. I think God has us each have an affinity one way or the other. But we cannot criticize the other side or neglect the other side. You must have the word. You must have God's presence. And what happens when those two things smash together? I'm going to guess, Pastor Arvid, because I'm trying to put words to this, and I'd be interested in hearing how you feel. You guys have two pastors. Are we emotional at times? So far, I haven't cried. I came close at one point. But how many times have Pastor and I stood in front of you? And as we're speaking, or we're about to speak, all of a sudden we start crying. Why is that? Why do we do that? As I thought about it and prayed about it, I came to this conclusion. This is what I'm thinking. And maybe Arvid did the same. I'm not sure. I will be here preaching the word and reading my notes that God has spoken to me. And in a moment, God will drop another word into my heart that I wasn't ready for. And I know I need to speak it. And just as about that word that has gone from my heart, from my spirit of God, as it's traveling up to my brain and then to my mouth to speak, I start crying because it took a detour and went through the tear ducts and then to the brain. Why is that? Because as I'm about to speak this word, I know it is a word from God and it overwhelms me. It is a word with power that comes from God, and I sense his presence smashed together with it, and it overwhelms my feelings, and I don't know how to handle it. I'm crying because God is speaking. I'm crying because his word is being spoken and his presence is right here and I can't handle it. And he can't handle it because he can't handle it right now. He's crying with me. But they're both necessary. If I sit here and God reveals all these words and I spend 35 minutes just crying, some of you can be like, oh, God's doing something. That's cool. I don't know what, but God's doing something. And other of you are like, okay, can we get some words, please? We must have both the presence of God and the Word of God in perfect balance. So let's apply it. Let's flip to Mark chapter 4. I was at a conference this week before I went to the ladies' conference. And on a different angle, in Mark chapter 4, at the end of Mark chapter 4, the preacher was speaking about this. And I sensed God say, that was probably the reason, because this was on Saturday, that I sense, it's a good thing I didn't write the sermon, because God said, you need to go to this one. We need to see this in action. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus and the disciples. Now, as we read it through the lens of word and presence, and see what happens. I like this. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. As evening came, Jesus, what's another name for Jesus? He is the Word. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. Jesus is the Word, but he's also God in human presence. He's a little bit of both, but Jesus is the Word. As evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus. Is that word or presence? Presence. They took him. Jesus, we want you with us. Please be present in our boat. They took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High winds were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Have you ever been through a storm in your life? You ever been through a very difficult time? Have you ever had a hardship where it seems like everything is pounding you? Okay? All right. So you can experience this. Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting. They're using words with some emotion. Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke, he had to get his coffee, I think, you know, and his bagel. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, what just happened? What did he use? Words. He used words. What was the audience of the words? Waves and wind, right? But he spoke words. Silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was great calm. He spoke words with power and authority, and the things around had to obey. Oh, there's a message right there. He spoke words, and what he was speaking to had to listen. But, verse 40, then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? All right, let's dissect this. As I think I'm wrapping up, again, I don't have a conclusion written on here. That terrifies me, but I hope I'm at the end. The storm came, wind, waves, they were drowning. Was Jesus present in the storm? Yes. Did Jesus's, this is where I'm like, oh, help me, theologians. Did Jesus's presence stop the wind and the storm? It didn't. His presence, where some of y'all are like, Oh, that's the thing. You gotta have the presence, 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 the feeling, the knowing, the security of God's presence. Yes, you do. Did it stop the trial they were going through?
No.
What stopped it? His words. His words. God is, he's my shelter, my provider, those words we were just singing. We run into the presence of God when we feel the storms are battering us, and we sit there and we soak in God's presence and we say, God, do something. Or we think, well, everything's going to be okay because I'm near God. I'm at church. That fixes everything. I'm in the presence of God. And God goes, I'm glad you're here. Let me put my arm around you. Let me say I love you. And then God says, okay, now I need you to do something. I need you to step out in faith. I need you to speak. I need you to command that evil force that is coming against you in the name of Jesus to be gone. I need you to command that infirmity to be gone in your body. I need you to change. I need you to repent. I need you to go forward. I need you to alter your course. I need you to speak out. God starts giving us words and commands of what we must do. And we go, but can I just be here in your presence? God says, I'm glad you're here, but it's not enough. You need the word of God. And then there's the word people, that there's an infirmity or a hardship. And all we do is, well, let me read you a verse. And we read a verse and we read a verse and we read a verse and nothing happens. There were those that came to Jesus and said, I don't know what this verse is. I don't have the reference, so you don't have to look for it, Ben. Don't panic. They said, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal in your name? And he said, I never knew you. There are those that are going to cry out in the end, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, I don't know who you are. You have never been in my presence. You may speak the word, but maybe you have no authority because you don't have the presence of God. You must seek his presence and you must know his word. You must be safe in God's arms, but then you need to stand in front of the boat and command that darkness to flee, to command that rain to stop. You must have presence and you must have word. And many of you in here, you either have none or you're heavy in one and not the other. But then there's a few that you just want to be near because they're full of the presence of God. And when they speak, you listen because their words are full of God. I'm going to pay for that later. Because he's going to be, if I gave him the mic, which I think I will here in a second, he will speak humility because he knows who he is. And he's a mess. But he knows how to get in the boat with God and have faith. And he knows how to let God speak. And he's not the only one in here. Get around those people. As Chris mentioned yesterday, the ladies, it's community. It's the opposite of isolation. Many of us have isolated ourselves, and we try to isolate ourselves with the word, and yet if you're alone, you can't do anything with it. There's nobody to talk to. And some of us, we isolate ourselves in the presence of God, and yet we're not around people. We need community, and we need to grow. Sorry, am I doing the women's conference here, theme and all that stuff? That's a good word. You have to seek the presence of God. And last week, we talked about how do we get in the presence of God? We praise. God inhabits our praises. When you're in that storm, you say, praise God. God, you're awesome. God, you're amazing. You're my protector. You're my provider. You sing. You praise. And God comes down in presence. And then a lot of times we just go, oh, this is great. I feel better. God says, okay, now let's do something. Let's speak. And we go, no, God, I just want to bask in your presence. No. We got words to do. We got actions to do. We're all wobbling here. And we need to balance it. Seeking the presence of God and knowing the word of God and using them both. And when that happens, Moses changed. When you do that, you change. Mike, you changed. I've known you for a couple of years. You've changed. Because you've sought the presence of God and you've found the word of God. You've changed. And I can see it. And others can see it. That's a testimony. And you get that in community. Don't worry. I won't pick on any more people. My son, my uncle, my sister, Mike, you guys, man. That's what happens when I don't write notes. Get notes next time. Seek the presence of God. Know the word of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Lord, difficult concept. Lord, I feel like I'm kind of on shaky ground, and then I have to try to communicate it. Lord, I pray you spoke today. I pray that we have an understanding, and I pray, Lord, all these wobbly wheels in here that are out of balance, Lord, that today we seek a little more balance. Whether we need to seek your presence more, and some here have never experienced your presence that they know of, and yet your presence has been here today. There are some that are here going, what is this? I don't know what this is. God, it's your presence. I love that. And Lord, there's some here that have no desire for the word of God. We must have your word. We must read it. We must understand it. Lord, it's like arrows in our quiver. Lord, that when you call for it, we're able to pull out these scriptures and apply it to our lives and to the lives of brothers and sisters. Lord, we must know your word. And Lord, as we seek this, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you change us. I pray that people can see us and know that there's something different about that person. And that is the presence, and that is the word of God. That is an individual who has stood in the cleft of the rock, and you've revealed yourself through word and through feeling, through sense, through presence. Lord, change us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Pastor Arvid, welcome back. If you wouldn't mind coming up and correcting me if needed and blessing the people.
When Moses came down off the mountain, how did they know he was changed or something happened? Come on. He was glowing. Okay. So the people saw something different. Deuteronomy chapter 28, 9 and 10, please. I got a cane, though. I'll walk you over the head. If you listen to what it says, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, in other words, if you obey what God has said, right? And walk in his ways. In other words, if you obey what he has said and do them, right? The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would do. Now listen to verse 10. Then all, everybody say all, the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by God, and they will stand in awe of you. The United States is a nation that was surrendered to God. And all the world has been standing in awe at the fact that God has been God. God has been blessing this nation. But it's not being obedient anymore. And the rest of the world is looking at us like they look at everybody else. So let's start a change from you and I. Because we're only responsible for us, right? Let's start doing what God said. What His Word said. Let's start obeying it and being obedient to it. Walking it out so the rest of the world around us, including your kids, your family, your neighbors, the rest of the community will see that this is a church, this is a group of people, this is a family, this is a person who is blessed of God because we see something different in their lives. Let's stand. I think I'm just going to say amen. Because that was a blessing of the Lord. That was, Pastor, that was your conclusion. Just want you to know that. And God gave that to me this morning. Good to be home. Bless you guys. Bless you. In the name of Jesus, bless you.